RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday morning, Frankie Val and
Beans. We're doing the intro last, which is very strange.
But it is.
I just forgot how do I introduce the show. I just completely forgot how I do it.
That's what happens when you do everything backwards.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, so we are about to show you a really great interview, which I hope you guys enjoy and I think is very beneficial and kind of necessary. It is with Jeff Brain, who is the CEO of CloudHub. He has the coolest name ever. His last name is Brain. How cool is that?
It is cool, Brain. A cool name.
It is a cool brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got him for a little bit and he's going to talk to you. It's really good. And then after that, we cover a lot of the happenings.
That's it. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, we hope you enjoy it. And we will see you on Wednesday. I said that already at the end, but now I'm saying it in the beginning.
Peace.
Here's Jeff. And we are happy to be joined by Jeff Brain, who is the CEO of CloudHub, the new social media platform that I've been talking about nonstop for the past month or two. And Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Tracy, it's good to be with you. Thank you.
Awesome. So we met, I don't know who made the introduction. I don't even remember who made the introduction back in the day.
Ron Coleman.
Yes. Good old Ron Coleman. He still owes me an interview. You know who Ron is, right? Right, Frank?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So Ron is actually working with you guys, right?
That's correct. Ron is helping us. Yes.
Awesome. So let's let me do less talking and you do more talking. So tell everybody what CloudHub is and why you started it and some of the cool stuff that's going on with the platform.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity to share CloudHub with your viewers. So I started CloudHub because my background is very much civic oriented. I was commissioner for the city of LA. I did a lot of major, community programs to improve, the city. And I felt that Twitter and Facebook and the other programs really weren't designed for what society needs right now, which is the ability to, use a social media platform to bring people together to address issues, actually take action and be solution oriented. Facebook was originally created to meet girls in college, and Twitter was originally created to keep your friends updated on what you're doing throughout the day. They were never intended to be the center of political debate, yet, they're being used for that. So I thought, what if we create a platform that's actually designed for political debates, debate about social issues, debate about civic issues? And that's what CloudHub is. CloudHub is a social network created specifically for community, social, and political networking and engagement. We use the power of social networking to bring people together. We enable them to connect with like-minded individuals and then address and influence the issues that impact their communities, their families, their freedoms, and their country.
And one of the things I spent months talking with you before I said, okay, I'm going to definitely hop on board and help promote this platform because it is so powerful and so robust and so different than anything else. And you're a great guy. And so that meant a lot to me too. It really did because you never know anymore with people. You really don't. But the amazing thing for me about it is you can download the app from either App Store on iPhone or even the Google Play Store, thankfully. And and you can also use it online just through a browser, right?
That's correct.
Yes. And the app is so amazing. So there's all different sections of it. There's a newsroom, there's, different headers on the top, then there's the regular timeline functionality. Can you go through some of what CloudHub can do?
Sure. And again, in looking at creating something that allows people, whether you're a parent concerned about what's happening in your local school, or you're a community person worrying about what's happening down the street, or you're a seasoned political activist, I wanted to create a tool that you could use to address those issues. And so what do you need in order to address issues like that successfully. And so I looked at my background and my experiences, and I put together what I believe are the tools that you need. You know, on so many of the platforms, all people do is spend a lot of the time griping in a way, and it's not that what they want to do, but ultimately they're just posting. Oh, this is in, you know, it doesn't go beyond that, right? We post on Twitter, we post on Facebook, we post on other platforms, and it just stays there. But what if you could go ahead and you can actually, first of all, have access to information? We call ourselves Clout Hub. And like you said, we have numerous hubs. We have a public forum. It's like the town square, you know, that's where people go, and it's kind of like our Twitter alternative, where people go and they share ideas, okay? But then we do have a newsroom where you can access the latest information, and it's right there within the same app. You don't have to leave Clout Hub to go to some third-party news aggregator. We have one right in Clout Hub. We also have a video gallery where people can share videos. And then we have groups where people can form groups. Everybody can form a group. They can organize, whether that's a local chamber of commerce, a local homeowner association, or just a group of friends who believe in the same thing. Their groups allow them to do great stuff. We also have what we call content channels. Content channels are shows. They're video shows of content providers. It's like what you would find on YouTube, but we're not focused on, you know, how to make a cake or fix a car. It's really civic, social, and political issues. And we have some really good people there, including you. You know, your program is there. We're very proud to have you. We're getting all of the programming from America Voice News coming. That'll include Steve Bannon, his pandemic war room. That'll include Bill Mitchell. That'll include Terrence Williams, Dr. Gina Loudon. We have Wayne Dupree. We have Deneen Borelli. And we are expecting to get many, many more really great programming there. And that's something you can't do on the other platforms. We'll also have it's not there yet, but we'll also have a private hub. Private hub is kind of where you go when you want to talk with your friends and family privately. You don't always want to be in that public forum. So you can go into the private hub and share pictures and what you did over the weekend privately. And that's important. And then we'll be adding a civic hub. And the civic hub allows you to access government, community, and election information. You'll actually be able to interact with your legislators, all the way from the president down to your school board, where you can communicate to them in one fell swoop. You'll also be able to get election information, see who's running for office, what their positions are. You can volunteer for them. You can donate. You can interact with them. You can comment on them. You know, we rate our food on Yelp. We should be able to rate our elected officials on Clout Hub. But what's coming soon, we're going to have political watch parties that we'll have where you can watch debates with your friends. You don't have to be sitting in the same living room. You could be in different parts of the country, be watching the same programming, whether it's a debate, a town hall. We'll be adding virtual meetings where you can, you know, if you have an issue, what steps do you take? Oh, well, hold a meeting. Okay, you can hold a meeting right on Clout Hub, virtual meeting. You know, and then what's your problem? You have a graffiti problem? Well, you're not the first group to have that problem. There's other groups that have felt, you know, dealt with that. What are some of the other communities do? You know, so there'll be a library of that. So really, you know, what we're talking about is a complete permanent solution that people can access when they have issues, whether it's at a local level, state level, or community level, or world level.
It's really fantastic, and I'm excited, like, about it, because, like you said, you post on Twitter, that's great, people want to organize. Well, how do they do it? Where do they go that's safe for them to get together and really be able to organize and get, you know, affect some actual change? Because there's a lot of talk, Frank, right? I mean,
there's
a lot of talk and a little bit of action, and a lot of people don't even know how to organize locally, Jeff. They really don't know. So is there going to be a way for folks to find people in their local area so that they can get together in a group or do the civic kind of engagement in that way?
Yes, absolutely. So we already have a search at the top of the public forum where you can search by issues, what people care about. When you join Clout Hub, and By the way, we're very privacy oriented. We only ask for 4 things from you. And then thereafter, everything you give is up to you. But we ask for your email address, your name, a phone number so we can two-step verify that you're a real person. And then your city and state, but you can hide that. But that helps us, like you're asking now, to connect you to other people. That's the only 4 things we're ever going to get from you or take from you or require. Everything thereafter is voluntary. We don't even take your IP address that you came in off of. We believe in privacy. We don't track you. We don't track where you're going. We don't look at what you're looking at, on the internet. None of that. We don't data mine you. We don't, sell or share your information. I just believe in privacy. Just because we join a social media platform doesn't mean we give up our right to privacy. So you can search where people are, but we also ask for their interests. You can say, I'm interested in crime. I'm interested in jobs. I'm interested in the economy. And then you can meet other people that way. Or you can also put in a location and find people who are local to you. Yes.
It's so amazing. The other thing that I found, Uncover DC, as you mentioned, has started using your channels functionality, and Carpe's over there too, which I think is really cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we love it. It's such a robust and really tailored solution for somebody streaming like myself. I mean, it is so easy. And seriously, it's a breath of fresh air to know my content is hosted somewhere people can find it and it's not going anywhere. You guys are very, very serious about free speech, of course, with some very obvious sort of limitations, like certain words and certain things, just things that are ridiculously hateful that you just wouldn't want in a public square anyway. To tell us a little bit about the free speech angle and how you guys are managing that portion of things, because I'd love, if you can, to tell for you to tell people what Ron is doing and how that works.
Yeah. So on free speech, again, we look at it like we're doing social media right. Social media for grownups. We treat people with respect and we have very clear rules in our platform. So we publish a list of words that are mostly racial slurs or graphic sexual terms that we ask you not to use on our platform. Other than that, you're allowed to talk about any issue and focus on issues and all sides of an issue. The problem with big tech is they're aiming to police the thoughts and expressions of those that disagree. And that's where, one day it's the rules are this way and next day it seems to be applied differently. On CloudHub, we use artificial intelligence to make sure you don't use those words. So for instance, the N-word, you would not be able to use that on our platform. If you wrote a post that had that word in it, and then you hit, the button to publish it, there would be a pop-up that says, this is not appropriate for CloudHub. And why do we do that? We do that because we want to have a platform where we are solution-oriented and working to find common ground and move society forward. There's new platforms, some are, lean blue, some lean red, And to me, that's a mistake because that just takes us further apart as a society. What we need to do is start to come together. And so CloudHub is open to both sides, and both sides are treated equally, and all sides of issues are welcome. We think that's a good thing, to have dissenting thought. That's what this country is built on. That's how you get to the best solutions, when you allow all thought. Facebook was taking down groups who opposed the lockdown. Well, that's a legitimate issue to discuss. Should there be a lockdown? Should there not be a lockdown? Now, on CloudHub, we have groups. We welcome people who want to have those discussions to our groups. We're very clean on free speech. We support free speech, the free expression, sharing of information. And where we stop that is if you start to go into calling people racial slurs or, sexual content. Our videos and images are all reviewed too for that. So somebody could not put porn on our site, and we think that's a good thing. Again, we're trying to create a community where people are addressing issues positively. And so far, our members really like it.
I mean, it's been nothing but great discourse on there. I mean, people get angry and you can have a conversation with them and not worry about it. It's really, I don't do this often, Jeff. I really don't. I'm very excited about Clout Hub, like super excited about it because I see it as the future. I mean, this is everything that we have come to rely on to get our ideas out in one hub, in one place. It's all together. You can do video, you can do the tweet sort of format, you could do like Facebook groups, but it's so much more than that. And I'm so excited to see where it goes. What are some plans that you guys, oh, I don't know if you just forgot to answer this or didn't want to, and it's fine either
I'm
way.
Sorry.
Ron, it like what you guys told me in the beginning about what Ron's doing for you guys.
Well, first of all, we're very fortunate to have some wonderful people helping us. So Ron Coleman, who's a free speech attorney, is helping us. And Ron is setting up a panel of free speech attorneys to act as an autonomous, almost like a Supreme Court of speech for Clout Hub. So that if there was an issue that came up, it's not me deciding whether that should stay or not. We could put it to, you know, if there was a controversy, we could put it to this free speech group that would be part, you know, conservative, part liberal, and part independent. And so we're really grateful for Ron. He's been a real, help for us also in setting our policies. And, you know, he's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. He represents a lot of the people who have been deplatformed from other platforms, and he's a very big supporter. But, you know, we also have, you know, Dr. Gina Loudon, who's very close to the president. She has expressed to me that she has spoken to him about Clout Hub. We also have Katrina Pearson, who's on the campaign, and she's a senior advisor to him, and she is a senior, advisor to Clout Hub now. She sits on our senior advisory board.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so she joined us. We have other people that are, you know, helping us as well. And we're really excited. We have great people coming. And I showed Katrina the platform. And Katrina was one of the founders of the Tea Party, right? And she looked at it and she got it immediately, just like you did. Mm-hmm. You know, the full, complete nature of it as a solution where you don't have to go to Facebook to do one thing and YouTube to do another thing and Twitter to do another thing, where everything's in one platform. And I tell you, and you may, you know, have experienced already, but when you have like the news within the platform and you can share it so easily, you know, within the platform to where you want to send it, whether it's to a group or to a public forum, and the same with the video, you know, to share it.
For me, like the newsroom is a game changer, Frank. If it's a game changer. You can sort it by top business, technology, sports, health, entertainment. I mean, it's literally all right there inside of this app.
I think it's just really, really cool to consider being able to go into certain rooms and channels and watch live content together with interactive viewing parties. But pretty, you know, people are doing that right now on YouTube as well. But to be able to sit in there and you know you can't do it on Twitter. You can't combine all the functionality of all these platforms like we're discussing right now into one place. You have to go to different sites for those different types of experiences. So just, I mean, and I'm just learning about this for the first time here. I'm not on the platform. So just on first blush, it sounds really interesting.
So, Frank, any questions? Because you'd be the perfect person to ask them.
No, that's just, first of all, I think the people that are on and the people that are set to arrive, I think that's a really great way of pulling a lot of attention toward a new platform. And of course, we know that, especially now here in the middle of this election season, the censorship and the shadow banning and just the outright destruction and deplatforming of people. It's always making people wonder where do I go? Where's the backstop of all of this stuff? And aside from people just trying to be involved, there's a lot of great work that's done on Twitter, the threading, the research, all of that stuff. And just it's a little bit harrowing just to think about all that work that could be lost on a whim, just arbitrarily. So I think that the migration aspect and all the features that we're talking about here for interaction and information sharing. And then, of course, just the idea that there's going to be another option for people to bring all of their, you know, civic journalist or civic work on there and not be so scared about it waking up one morning, having it all be gone. So that's pretty cool.
You know, ultimately looking at, you know, so we have all these features, but ultimately what it's doing is it's returning power back to you, the people. You know, that's really what it's about. If the people can organize on a platform like this, you know, on issues like, you know, a couple months ago, we were all stuck in our homes and we have governors that are, you know, saying if you go to the beach, on the beach, you know, you're going to get arrested. You can't go to the store to buy seeds or things like that, you know, and so we're, you know, kind of at their whim. But with a platform like Cloud Hub, we actually can organize even though we're stuck in our homes, right? We can organize big time. We can mobilize. We can advocate, you know, and protect our freedoms and shape the future. So really, all these tools are great, but they have a purpose, which is really to, you know, transfer the power kind of back to the people, because you're in it halfway across the country from me, but yet here we are and we can talk and through Cloud Hub, we can organize and share information and mobilize and recruit other people. And that will result, you know, in holding our elected officials accountable, making government more responsive, and creating more transparency in government. And that's really what we need, right? So that's my vision for Cloud Hub down the road. It's a work in progress. A lot of it is there now, and we're still building parts of it.
One of the things that convinced me that, you know, my gut was completely right and this was really where I wanted to make my home was that you would tell me, okay, in 3 weeks, we've got this coming. It's due to come out and blah, 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 whatever feature. And 3 weeks later, like the flip of a switch, there it was, functional, ready to go. And I was like, all right, you know, you guys have your stuff together. You know what you're doing over there. You've got an amazing team of people working on this solution. And I guess the only other thing that I know is something that people are saying, because I read the comments and stuff, is are there going to be, because there's a lot here, right? Is there going to be like a training section to teach leaders, people who want to step forward and start using this functionality, how to do it?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, right now, when you log in, you land right into the public forum. Sometime in the future, you'll land on a dashboard for yourself. And in that dashboard, you'll be able to see what friends are online. You'll be able to see where activity is happening on the platform. And it'd be an easy roadmap to go from one hub to the other, depending what your needs are. So that will all be there. And there will be, in fact, we already have a cloudhub.com/help. And there, we have lots of little videos there where people can, you know, you can be on Cloud Hub actually and communicate to your followers on Twitter. You know, we built that functionality in because we knew people didn't want to lose their, you know, followers on Twitter while they're making the transition. So you can do that. And of course, you can import posts from Twitter into Cloud Hub and from Cloud Hub to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. So there's, you know, lots of functionality and yes, there'll be lots of help for it. And by the way, also you talked about earlier how when people have an issue, they don't know how to start. And there'll be even processes for, okay, you got an issue, here's a step one. Take that step. Okay, now take step two, then take step three. And we'll walk people through how to deal with issues, you know, whether it's local or state or national.
I'm just so glad and thankful that this exists. I know. I mean, so let me just give out a link for everybody who's sitting out there like, oh, my gosh, I have to check this out, because I'm telling you, like, you need to get over there. I know there's a lot of other options that people can pick. We're not going to talk about them because it's just silly. But this one is really, it differentiates itself from the rest in serious ways. It really, really does, especially if you're looking to get involved locally, nationally, politically, or you just want to be able to surround yourself with that sort of material. So you can go to, I'm going to give my link, Jeff, that's okay.
Yeah, that's it.
It's getcloudhub, getcloudhub.com/beans, BEANZ. So if you go over there, you can sign up and you can join this platform and really spend some time in there and start using it. As Jeff said, it's super easy to kind of like mishmash everything together. And so far, I'm knocking on wood, but you've had some hiccups, but with some deplatforming and stuff, but you've managed to pull through because you're doing things the right way, right?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is we had an instance where the same night that Google took down the Federalist and Zero Hedge, they actually took down our app off their platform, but we got it put back up a couple days later. And we're confident that now that they know what we're about, that we're not a fringe group, we're a serious group. And, you know, CloudHub is, there are other platforms, like you mentioned, and there are some that are popular of the day. But what we find is the doers, the people who want to be the change makers, CloudHub is the right place for them, you know, and they're finding their way to us. And we're very excited about our future and being able to provide people a tool that allows them, you know, to protect their homes, their families, and their way of life. You know, you look at what's happening around our country right now in the cities with the violence and the looting and the unrest. And, you know, we need as a society and as a country to be able to come together. And I believe CloudHub will be a big part of that. And I welcome everybody to come and check out CloudHub be a part of our community.
Fantastic. Frank, any closing thoughts for Jeff before we go?
I just really want to thank Jeff for coming on and filling in all of these gigantic gaps of information that I did not have about the whole, because I've heard Tracy, you've mentioned it in passing with me, but I still haven't checked anything out. It's been pretty crazy for me lately. Yeah, but seriously,
I haven't sat you down and shook you into it yet.
I know you didn't have the talk with me yet, but this was it was a great learning experience. I was glad to have heard Jeff speak on it today.
Well, thank you both for the opportunity.
No, this is great. And, you know, we haven't heard the last of you and we talk all the time. So I'm excited. Right. And thank you so much, Jeff, because this is so necessary.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Frank.
Have a good one.
You too.
Isn't he great?
Yes. Yes. Very, 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 very good talk.
Yeah, he's awesome. I wanted to try to keep the conversation more focused on the functionality of the platform and less focused on censorship, because everybody knows that there's censorship, right? Everybody knows it. It's just, where do you end up planting your 2 feet as a fallback? Or in this case, not as a fallback to social media like Twitter, but how do you get together and organize and you know, do activism and get news and, you know, do what the left has been so good at doing for so many years? How do people do that? And how are they taught to do it? And you know, is there a place that's safe for us to do it? Yes, there is. The link to join up will be in the show notes below the episode. I really suggest everybody, even if you're not going to dive right into it right now, just get yourself over there, start getting familiar with it. It is really something else. It really is.
Yeah, I'm like I just told you, I've been clicking through the website while you guys were talking. Because this was a very eye opening first time even hearing about any of this. And I think the other thing there too is, as far as functionality goes, it's interesting to be able to pull from other platforms, but not necessarily expose yourself on other platforms. So if CloudHub is one of those places where YouTube, Twitter, kind of whatever's going on in other parts of the internet can be pulled in and analyzed and discussed and all watched live or anything like that, it creates more of a place where you can be separate from all that stuff and not be subject to all of the scrutiny and the deplatforming, while also just being able to, you know, be on the same page and watching all the same content, not being out of the loop.
Yes. And not only that, but people are saying like, well, can I see President Trump's tweets are over there? So if you're on CloudHub, they're posted in real time over. He's not personally there, but they've got an account for him and his stuff is brought over there. So you're not going to miss anything. If there's other big political figures who have the same functionality over there, which we didn't get to talk about. But anyway, I just had to get Jeff on to talk about this because it's really the next wave of stuff. I'm just excited about it, as you can tell. So there's that. Great stuff. So over the weekend, we had a crazy it never gets easier. So this one thing I want to talk to you about really got me. There was a shooting, obviously a shooting. I'm saying obviously, Frank, because obviously this was bound to happen in the Chaz, Chop, whatever. There was a shooting and people died. And you see Raz, the warlord who we played on the show the other day, saying how this is my block. I fought for this block, right?
Yep. Yep.
Begging the ambulance to come in to save this guy who's been shot. And the ambulance paramedics won't go in. And they won't go in because their police were pushed out of the way and weren't allowed entry to secure the scene. So the EMS would not go in. And he is throwing a temper tantrum about how they have to go in. We'll make sure you're safe. Well, guess what? You caused this, dude. You don't
We'll make sure you're safe. Why didn't you make sure the person that was shot was safe? Why wasn't the area so safe already that there wasn't a shooting? I thought that this was supposed to be a paradise.
No, I know. And then, you know, there's some people like, well, these people took an oath. They're supposed to save lives. I'm like, not at the expense of their own. They don't go into war zone.
Not in foreign countries.
And not in foreign autonomous countries, which he keeps on, this guy. He keeps on pushing back. We're not autonomous. It's all over your camp, dude. You just realized you'd be so screwed if you declared yourself autonomous from the rest of the country you inhabit, that he started now going online and he's saying how he's an American and blah. Yeah, it's too late. Too late. He's letting you, the president is letting you dig your own hole and jump in it and start covering yourself up with dirt. So the other thing that went on was there's a guy who's been filming all this stuff over the past several, you know, weeks, I guess, since they've been there. And his name is Sean GUI _. He's been recording like everything, and they stole his phone, didn't realize he was still streaming. So like recorded themselves, twitched out themselves, stealing his phone and saying, standing there and talking to one another about how he's an infiltrator and blah, blah, blah. They're literally attacking journalists, Frank. And they're attacking journalists, confiscating their phones, beating the crap out of them and kicking them out. But they're the anti-fascists, right?
Hey, that's why the weekend that this all took place, that's why I said, will the Chaz be the quickest communist nation to fall in human history? And it really has been like watching cultures grow on a petri dish. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. It's not amazing to see people die. It's not like I'm okay with that, but I'm okay with the logic of it all. And I hope people are starting to see the logic of it all. You know, this is what will happen. And you want to, this is six blocks of the city of Seattle. You want to extrapolate you want to project this onto the rest of the nation? Even if this is implemented locally across the nation, think about this. So I just hope people are understanding this is not an isolated incident. This is just what is festering below this thin veneer of order that we're living through.
And I don't understand, Frank, because if they were so noble and their cause was so just, why wouldn't they want the world in there filming them? Why would they be so embarrassed that they have to steal people's phones and wipe them? Why? What's so bad? What's so bad about what you're doing that you don't want anyone to see it? Freaking ridiculous.
I know.
I mean the ratio on his tweet complaining was something to behold. He had like, I don't know, 50,000 comments and 1,000 retweets on it. When I looked at it, it was something right around there.
50,000 comments.
Yeah, none of them were complimentary to him. Right now it has 17,000 retweets, and let me just see if I can find it. He actually, this guy Raz Simone had a pinned tweet the other day of him complaining about this. There's now 55,000 comments on this tweet. of him.
There's something, listen, there's something more to this guy.
Yeah, he's a criminal.
That would be easy for me to take in that the strong men that show up. Strong men that show up in situations like this and fill in power vacuums and take the lead and all that stuff. You don't have to sell me on that. That there's probably a criminal history in there somewhere. And then of course, what'd you say?
It's funny because Ron Coleman said this is actually so comical. It's starting to make me believe that this is a false flag.
I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll find something out. Maybe we won't. But I think that there's something much bigger than just a small-time crook rap artist that seized upon an opportunity to become king for a week or two. I would not be surprised if there's something deeper going on with this guy. He's some kind of an asset. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they said, hey, if you do this for us, we'll let you out of X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's just pure speculation on my part, but yeah. Yeah,
that's what I feel. I mean, he was already a blue. He already had a blue check.
Well, he's a rapper.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something. I wonder. I just wonder what kind of game he was really running out there.
I swear. Oh goodness, it's just crazy everywhere. You know, like what Jesse Kelly did.
I love it. I love that. I took screenshots of that for tonight's show with all the college campuses, the Ivy League campuses.
Oh yes.
Good.
Oh yes.
And I love how even some of the commenters in those threads were talking. Not only did the founders of Harvard and Yale all benefit from slavery and stuff, but even to go and jump into Anderson Cooper's background as a Vanderbilt.
Anderson Cooper was not only a Vanderbilt; he was also a CIA asset.
Yeah.
I mean, so basically what happened is Jesse Kelly hit the airwaves on Twitter saying how Yale was literally named after and founded by a slave trader who thought he was active in the slave trade. Active.
Active, active.
Yes. Yes. And they want his statue taken down and they want everybody who was there at the university to lose their degrees. Because they supported this horrible racist. There is a lot more going on that Jesse Kelly's demanding because it is just not right that an institution is named after and championed by such a criminal.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think about what's come off of the Harvard campus just in the last 10 years alone with free speech zones and the Constitution free zone. I don't know it's just been nuts. And then Even in New York, there is whatchamacall. You got Teddy Roosevelt is going to be taken down since 1940. He's been up there. And if you have any kind of imperialist sentiments that you want rectified with someone like Teddy Roosevelt, and you go after him before you go after Margaret Sanger.
I know.
Oh, my God.
You know
what's
so funny? I was thinking that the other day. Like, that's like she hasn't been touched.
Nope. They're still giving out her awards. God. Still giving out the Margaret Sanger awards.
Tell people who Margaret Sanger is, just in case they don't know.
She's the racist eugenicist founder of Planned Parenthood.
Straight up,
and which was founded on the principle of weeding out undesirable aspects in society, whether it be genetic deformity or racial cleansing. She wanted to get rid of black people,
literally,
and. No, this is on the record. Literally, you can go and check it out. And not only that, but the she and the Nazis, they exchanged notes a lot. They admired each other very much. And now in the 21st century, Democrats give each other Margaret Sanger awards, and it's supposed to be a really progressive thing. So you think about all the history that they're tearing down while they're really just awful. This is, I don't know.
It is awful. And they pay little attention to the elephants in the room because, oh Lord, we don't have to go through it again. I think we've been talking about this for weeks now. Let's talk about Bill Barr's interview for the next few minutes before we kind of close it out for the day. Bill Barr did an interview with Maria Bartiromo, talked about everything from the George Floyd incident to Spygate to tech companies. He talks in the interview about mail-in voting and the possible fraud there, and what, outside of the fraud of mail-in voting, what it means for a country. Here, let's just listen.
Election.
Yes, sir.
Not a more important issue than this issue. The American people are being censored. Conservatives are being censored. The information flowing to the American people is being censored. Are you worried about this going into the election?
Yes, I am worried about a censorship. I'm worried about a number of things going into the election. One, the censorship of robust debate. I'm also worried about undermining the public confidence in the integrity of the elections. The thing we have going for us, especially when there's intense division in the country, is that we have peaceful transfers of power, and our way of resolving it is to have an election. But when governments, state governments, start adopting these practices like mail-in ballots that open the floodgates of potential fraud, then people's confidence in the outcome of the election is going to be undermined. And that could take the country to a very dark place if we lose confidence in the outcomes of our election. So that, the censorship, the censorship has a number of effects. It also, free speech, being able to get your viewpoint out, is a release. It takes some of the pressure out. If people are prevented from expressing their views, that's where you start getting extremism. And so the more ventilating of viewpoints we have, the healthier it is for our country.
Well, there's a big discussion right now about mail-in voting. Hillary Clinton said it's fine. It's fair.
Well, it absolutely opens the floodgates to fraud. Those things are delivered into mailboxes. They can be taken out. There's questions about whether or not it even denies a secret ballot, because a lot of the states have you signing the outside of the envelope. So the person who opens this envelope, person who opens the envelope, will know how people voted. There's no, right now, a foreign country could print up tens of thousands of counterfeit ballots and be very hard for us to detect which was the right and which was the wrong ballots.
Never thought about the extremism comments that he meant, but he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I
always use the metaphor of the washing machine that goes into spin cycle. If it's unbalanced, if all the weight is on one side, what happens? It starts banging its way across the basement floor. If you don't have anything to temper any kind of absolutist opinions or viewpoints of the world, then you only become more emboldened and hardened in a very unbalanced stance. And then anything becomes outside of that, after it's really taken hold in a society, it becomes heresy. You know, any kind of differing opinion becomes heresy, because at that point, if you give it enough time, an entire society could be based foundationally on a lie. And then what are you doing? Then you're really just going after people's religion at that point. It's not even just it's very true. The censorship is most harmful. Even if the things that people say sometimes are ridiculous and extreme in some ways, or, you know, obscene, satirical, whatever, you got to have it all. And you just got to be a discerning adult. You have to, or else we lose everything.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of thinking I've been doing a lot of thinking lately about a lot of things, like deep issues, like deep, like sociological sort of things, like what kind of a precipice we're at right now. Barr also talked about John Durham's investigation quite a bit, and it was telling what he did and didn't say. Was also telling what he said about the end of the election, or about what would happen if the election happened. Would all of this stuff go away? We'll play that one in a second. But this one kind of freaked people out. Everybody on the doom crier side started screaming about how there's no grand juries. That's not what was said at all. Here, let's listen to Barr and Maria Bartiromo interrupt me while I'm trying to talk. Here.
Has he been delayed because of the COVID-19 pandemic?
There has been delay because of the pandemic. Yes, there has.
An inability to interview people?
Yes. not an inability, but this thing slowing down of that process.
Because you can't gather a grand jury?
Well, I don't want to suggest there has been or is a grand jury, but it is a fact that there have not been grand juries in virtually all districts for a long period of time. And also people have been reluctant to travel for interviews and things like that. So it has slowed things down. But he's been working where he can on other matters that aren't affected by the pandemic. But there has been an effect.
A source said to me a couple of years ago, speaking of the Russia collusion story, that this was the closest the United States ever came to a coup to take down a president since the assassination of Lincoln. Is that an appropriate statement?
In this sense, I think it is the closest we have come to an organized effort to push a president out of office.
And it continues.
But I'm not reaching a judgment as to what the motivations there were.
Can you tell us anything about how this all...
That's a funny thing. Like, people are like, oh, he doesn't want to... It doesn't matter what the motivations were.
Yeah.
The motivations are irrelevant. Like... He just literally said there was an attempted coup and probably an ongoing coup at this point. I don't even.
Yeah, you see, this is why I don't. I mean, I know that these interviews go on, but I don't go rush to listen to them anymore because there's always things that they play off against each other, and I feel like we're held deliberately in stasis. So when he admits, when you have an attorney general assuming. From everything that he has been able to examine, that there is a coup that was attempted and a coup that is potentially ongoing. Mixed into that, he knows he has to. It's not lost onto him why things like mail-in ballots and stuff like that are being suggested right now. That it all plugs into the bigger picture, mm-hmm. And at the same time, he'll say things that will get, like you said before, the doom criers to say. Nothing's happening. There's no grand juries. I just don't know how you can possibly hold those two things
together
off against each other.
Yeah.
And at least just sleep at night or if you know that you're presiding over a Department of Justice that is going to be derelict in their duty of bringing people to justice, why the hell would you even address the situation
at all?
Exactly. Yeah. Because what are you telling people? You're gonna right now, if that's really what's going on, and it's his own legacy, whatever, and it really is the last straw that the country is going to take. But if you're gonna go out there and say, here I am, I'm William Barr, and I'm telling you that I'm assuming, and it's looking like there was a coup, and there's one ongoing right now. But at the same time, we're not gonna do anything. I mean, all right. Well, first of all, You're letting everybody know that you're going to have to improvise justice because we are supposed to be that justice and you're not getting it, even though we're telling you that something stinks over here. I try to save my whatever's left of my spirit and not watch these things sometimes.
You know, let's talk about something a teeny bit more lighthearted real quick. Sort of the rally the other day. So the rally, we were all in the room chatting it up and everybody was like, why are there so few people there? And I was like, I'm hearing. I had a bunch of people that were there that were sending me stuff. And a couple different things happened. So the room wasn't full. There were about 12,000 people inside. It was the upper deck of it wasn't full, but they had floor seating. So that kind of changes things. In either case, you didn't see the visuals like you normally would see from a Trump rally. You didn't see them. A bunch of different things. Number one, they were temperature screening on top of everything else. And they had ridiculous log backs on that because there were entrances that were blocked and cordoned off by Black Lives Matter protesters so that people couldn't get in. The National Guard had to come and move those protesters out of the way. And then they opened up the entrances in spurts and they would allow 10 people in at a time. And when you don't start letting people in until 4, because the rally starts at whatever, 8, and you start letting people in at 4, like I've been at rallies before where I'm looking around and it's like 7:30 and the room's not full yet. And then all of a sudden in comes everybody because it just takes extra long to screen everybody. And then you have to add the temperature screen. And then you have protesters throwing drinks on people and attacking minorities and, you know, all the stuff that protesters do, and just disrupting outside to the point where people couldn't come in. They couldn't get in. And I shared a tweet from someone who was there and ended up having to leave. And that happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I mean, there's pictures of outside of this arena of all the people that couldn't get in. There's pictures of them.
I haven't seen those.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen those yet.
Pascal tweeted some. There's a bunch. They're all over the place. There's a lot of people that couldn't get into that arena. Like, a lot. And then there's a lot of people who saw what was going on there and left because they didn't want to be in the middle of a Black Lives Matter assault. So they didn't stay. They had their kids with them. They just didn't stay. Then I will tell you the one thing that did absolutely nothing to impact the attendance at the rally. Little AOC's little stunt with TikTok.
Yeah.
It did nothing.
I mean it. Listen, when I saw a million tickets requested for a Tulsa, Oklahoma rally, something didn't sit right with me.
Do you really think that Brad Parscale had no idea that there were fake signups on that?
I thought that before I started hearing about what the what was going on with TikTok, I said to myself, okay, well, this is probably just a showing of solidarity of. And I said, for the most part, this is probably a showing of solidarity for like Trump's base across the country. People who know they're not going to be able to come on in, but just want to show an overwhelming number of support for whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I saw what was going on at the arena that night, and, you know, discounting the fact that everything you just said right there, that there's protests going on outside of it. There's screening. And this is the first time. People are coming on out after this this pandemic. So I when we were talking about how everything was going away when things were getting locked down a couple of months ago, I said, you know, when we were talking about the impact of A, it keeps Trump off the campaign trail, and B, as an upside for the Democrats, it keeps Biden off the campaign trail. I said even when the lockdown gets lifted, you know how long it's going to take for people to be comfortable going out and doing things like that in groups, just because everybody's spooked.
Yeah.
So yeah. So to see, I know the fire department said there's about 6,500 people in there, but that is still bigger than any of the bingo nights that Joe Biden was holding prior to the pandemic.
And that's the thing that gets me too, Frank, is like these leftists are like, oh, he only had 60 something thousand people. Now, the campaign is fighting back against the 6,200 number and saying there were 12. They scanned those tickets. They know how many people entered in there. The fire marshal counts, I believe. So I don't know. But whatever the case may be, there were more people there than Joe Biden could get if he was giving away thousands of dollars to each person. I mean, like, just to see them mocking it is ridiculous. And again, they would have registered 20 million people and it wouldn't have made one bit of a difference who got in. It's all about being there and getting in when you're on the line. The ticket doesn't guarantee you a spot inside. So whatever they were trying to accomplish, what did they do? It at most caused some sort of an issue for, I mean, how many fake email addresses do you have to create to be able to do that? It's just so stupid. It's for no reason. It really is for no reason.
TikTok again.
There's a free Baron thing going around on TikTok now, that Baron Trump is being held hostage by his family and that he is actually an SJW and, you know, that we need to liberate him from the Trump family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what he needs.
There's that.
He needs to be liberated.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs to stop being brought into political disagreements by the media is what he needs. Absolutely disgusting. But we're done. We're finished. We're finished, Frank.
That's it.
That's it. You guys remember, go to getclouthub.com/beans, BEANZ. Sign up for Cloud Hub. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val. And happy Father's Day to everybody out there, too.
And you too.
By the way.
Mm-hmm. Happy Father's Day.
I had a couple. I know you wish me a happy Father's Day. Was it last week?
Friday.
Friday, and it was very surreal. And I got a lot more of those wishes than I thought I was this year. And I'll tell you, it was very surreal and very, very sweet. And I hope everybody else out there had a nice weekend too. At the very least, a peaceful one. So
yes. So you're Frank.
I'm Frank. Oh yeah, Val something. And
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.